Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
And now, here's Gary. Well, I heard this was an inclusion meeting. Is that right? I like that word. And I like that word, I think, even more than the word reconciliation. But inclusion, that means I'm in. So I appreciate that word. God help us if it ever becomes another doctrinal movement. But it is a good word. Kingdom's a good word. A lot of people ask me if I'm kingdom, and I say, well, I used to think I was. All of us, hopefully, are living in the kingdom. Yes. Inclusion. I just love the word because there's nobody left out of inclusion. One of the main thrusts of our ministry has been to lift that guilt and condemnation off of God's people. Because so many are still under the depression and the guilt of not being able to quite measure up to what they think a Christian should be. And I've been emphasizing a lot lately about believing what Jesus said. Now, I find it quite amazing that I have to exhort people to believe what Jesus said. Because we've believed in him for years and worshiped him for years. We just haven't really believed what he said. And we haven't really believed so much of what the scriptures say in such a simplistic way. I was thinking not long ago about the Mount of Transfiguration. How that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, only three, that had the experience of seeing him on that mount. And of course, right away, Peter wanted to build a monument to all three of them. One representing the law, Moses, the other representing the prophets. But the voice that came out of heaven said, "This is my son, hear ye him." Well, what do you suppose that meant? We don't need to listen to the law anymore. And I know a lot of people don't like this, but believe me, you don't need to listen to a prophet anymore. But you do need to hear what he says. We need to hear what Jesus says. And we need to begin to... Now, the reason I'm saying this, I had to do this myself. I had to begin to believe this. Now, I thought I believed it for a long time, but I found that my experience didn't line up with what I believed. For instance, Romans 8:28. All things, Nat and Margie, it's good to see you guys. It's been a long time. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. Yes. Now, if we could get God's people just to believe that much, whom he foreknew, he did also predestinate. Well, somebody said to me one time, now wait a minute, of course, whom he foreknew. But they were looking at it with their perception that he foreknew some and not others. In other words, he foreknew those who would accept them and those who wouldn't. So those whom he foreknew that would accept him, he predestinated them. But you know what? It doesn't say that. It says whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. So I would say, who didn't he foreknow? So if you can believe that, my God, that's in itself would relieve you of your guilt and your condemnation. It might not remove your circumstance, because your circumstance that you're going through is to conform you to the image of his son. So you're not going to get away from the circumstance, but you do need to change the perception and your belief to know that all things work together for good to those who love God, for whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. That's for the world. That's the gospel of inclusion. And if we don't leave anybody out, and you know, of course you do know, what separates us as God's people is our belief systems. That's about the only thing that will separate you from another believer is a belief system. The Muslims, the Christian, and the Jew all believe in the same God. And I heard a man say today, here are the Muslims praising and thanking God for killing a few Jews and the infidels. And here were the Jews praising God, you know, when they win a war. And then here's the Christians probably in Iraq or whatever and praising God for whatever victory they win over there. It sounds like God must be confused. Whose prayer is he going to answer? Because you know the Christians are praying to win the war in Iraq. And you know the Muslims are praying to kill all the infidels. And you know the Jews aren't too happy with the rest of the world either. So who's confused? It's not God. It's our perception of God. God is love. God is light. Another thing I heard a man say today, how could a God who is all loving create anything other than what he is? If he's loving and he's perfect, how could he create anything that was not loving and perfect? Well, that took me back to Genesis chapter 1, because in the beginning, God created man in his image. But he didn't create, in the beginning, he did not create this mortal physical image. He created a spiritual being. And we're just discovering in this day and age that we're not mortal men, we're spiritual beings created in the likeness and image of God, and that has never changed. The only thing that's changed is our perception and our forgetfulness and our sleep of not knowing who we are because we were lowered into this dense physical realm and we're lost in this human identity. No one is truly lost in God's sight. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, which some of you know, that I wrote a series of books on that I called Coming Out of Darkness, based on what Paul said in Ephesians 4:17, that you be not like the Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God that is in them. You see, we know, if you've been a Christian very long, you know so much. And the Apostle Paul had just given them so much in the first three chapters of Ephesians, telling them that they had been called, they'd been predestinated. Before the foundation of the world, they were called to be holy and without blame. And they were forgiven, they were predestinated. They were adopted as children. He told them all these things in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And he said, because of this, therefore, because you've been called, because you've been predestinated, because God foreknew you from before the world began, and you will and are being conformed to the image of Son, therefore, don't be like the Gentile. Don't be like the unbeliever, being alienated and separated in your mind from the life of God that's in your spirit. And that's where we've been most for 2,000 years. We've been alienated, not from God. God has never seen anything but the man he created in Genesis chapter 1. Yes. The first thing he said to Adam was, who told you that you had sinned? I didn't tell you that. God never told me. When I was in the depths of sin, God never told me I was a sinner, but the preacher did. The preacher never told me the truth of my being. God did. And when God told me the truth of my being and my creation and the truth of my innermost being, I found the most lovely, beautiful God that I could not even imagine existed. Not in the heavens, but in the deep recesses of my soul.
Yes, sir. I see it. Yes, sir.
And that's when you fall in love.
Yes.
And that's when you realize, don't listen to the law. You know, the law does what it's supposed to do. It kills you. And don't listen to the prophet, but listen to God. I shouldn't say don't listen to the prophet, but I think you know what I mean. There's so many people in some of the circles that they run to this prophet and they run to that prophet for a word, not realizing that God within them is the one that they should go to and hear him speak to them. So the voice said, "This is my son, hear ye him." Don't listen to anybody else. I shouldn't say that either. You're listening to me right now. You're not. Robert says he's not. But you know, when someone speaks, you need to have an inner witness. And if you don't have an inner witness, and here's another thing. We need to learn to listen to our heart and not our head. Because a lot of times when people first hear me speak, man, I'll tell you what, you can't believe the some of the stuff that I get. But I say, listen, I know what your head is saying, but what is your heart saying? What do you feel deep within? Oh, boy, if I could, it feels good to think someday everybody will be saved. But I got all of this other stuff I know in my head. I know what the scriptures say. No, you know what you think they say.
Right.
You cannot find in scripture where God is going to punish everybody forever. You say, oh, yes, I can. Well, you might show it to me, and I can explain to you what it really says. So, you know, we need to stop going to all the traffic and all the belief systems and everything that runs through our mind when somebody speaks and listen to your heart. Remember what they said about Jesus on the way to, was it Emmaus? Didn't our hearts burn within us?
Yes.
Your head, it will take a long time for your head to catch up with your knower, your spiritual understanding. But today, I'll tell you what, I am so thankful. What I've seen happen, Robert, in the last 10 years. 25 years ago, I would try to share this message, and I could not get anybody. I didn't know anybody either. But so many have heard this before, so I'll just share it real briefly. I heard God say to me one day out of circumstances that I was in, John saw you in the book of Revelation. I'd never heard a message of reconciliation. I didn't know there was such a thing. But I was so depressed and so down because I couldn't be a good Christian. And God spoke to me and said, John saw you in the book of Revelation. And that began my unveiling to the truth of God's unconditional love. And that's what we need to hear. We don't need to read it in a book. I mean, it's so don't misunderstand me. If you could see my Bible, I've been in this thing for, you know, 40 years, I guess. I don't know. But the black and white letter will not do that much for you unless it comes alive and speaks within you. Because we are the book. We are the true book. We are the living book. Paul said it this way. You are living epistles written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You see, that's the new covenant. It's not a set of rules and regulations written over there on the wall that you have to look at. I mean, that's so archaic today to even think you'd have to tell somebody thou shalt not kill. But you see, that shows you that back in those Old Testament times, however many years ago it was, man's consciousness was so, well, I don't know how to explain it, unevolved, I don't know. But man's consciousness has so evolved over the years that no teacher could come along today and get us to do some of the things that they did in the Old Testament times. Because today we're beginning to have an unveiling to the reality of his life in us. So listen to him. We have so much to experience when we begin to listen to him. When Jesus came, there was such a transition taking place. You all know that. Here come a man who literally debunked their religious system. And he would say things like, well, I know it's written, thou shalt, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. The age changed so drastically, beginning with John the Baptist and then with Jesus. Here came a man, John said. Here is a man. He is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Then Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle or the light of the Lord. That's inclusion. Nobody is left out. And the reason that that light is not shining brightly in all of God's people and all of his creation is because the Spirit of the Lord, the candle of the Lord, the very image and likeness of God has been pushed down by what we call the carnal mind or the egocentric personality that takes charge over your life. For years, I heard day and night accusations. I used to read Revelation 12:11, you know, talking about the accuser who accused them before God day and night. And that was my experience. Day and night I heard that accuser of the brother. Why? I read the Bible, but I didn't really believe it because it wasn't my experience. My experience was the accuser of the brother, and I can tell you that. But it says they overcame him by the, what? Blood of the Lamb and by the, what? Word. The word of their testimony. Well, my testimony was, I don't think I'll ever make it. Jesus, when you come back, I'll still be smoking and I'll still, and I used to say that to God. I'll still be doing all the stuff I'm not supposed to do. And I tell people now, you know what, today, if I smoke today, it wouldn't bother me a bit. Because I know that there's one in me who will perfect that which concerns me. It doesn't depend on me. What I do can cause me a lot of harm and a lot of hurt, but it does not stop God from working in my life. You see, predestination doesn't mean that you can just go your way and do anything you want. Predestination means there is an end for you. I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of good and not evil to bring you to an expected end. That's Jeremiah 29:11. See, God is bringing all of us to an expected end. I have predestinated you. And just as a seed of corn reproduces the corn kingdom, so the seed of my life within you will reproduce a manifestation of God on this earth. My life in you will reproduce the Son of God on this earth. And so many of us, you know, we look at Jesus and we worship Jesus, and we know he said he was a door, and so many people worship the door, and that's wonderful, but they don't go through the door. You see, a door is an entrance into another realm. And when I discovered he was the door, all right, but I thought it was the man Jesus who was the door. You know what? You can believe in Jesus till you die and never enter the kingdom. You have to go through the door. And the door is the consciousness being raised to you understand that you are just as much a son of God as Jesus was. Because he was the firstborn among many brethren. And we keep looking for perfection. But we look in the wrong place. Because if you look at me according to the flesh for perfection, I'm going to disappoint the heck out of you. But we realize perfection is of the Spirit. And as we are conformed into that image, there will come a day when in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be transformed fully into his likeness and image. That's what I'm walking that way. See, I'm in no way satisfied right now with my physical, carnal, whatever you want to call it, thing, but neither am I discouraged, because we have great hope, those of us who can believe the simple things. God loves you so much. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not holding them accountable for their sin. Oh, my, I tell people, if you can believe that, if you can believe, if he's not holding people accountable for their sin, why do we? Why do the preachers Sunday after Sunday preach guilt and condemnation on God's people when God's not even holding them accountable? And you can't receive that if you have a religious mind, even though it's scripture. Because you say, well, if I knew God wasn't holding me accountable for my sin, I mean, boy, I'm telling you, would I go have a time? And I tell people, if that's the way you feel, you just as well go do it. It'll just expose your heart. If you're serving Jesus out of fear, you just as well go do what you want to do. You know why I say that? Because you'll learn, maybe the hard way, but you'll learn that what you think you want, when you get it, you don't really want it. That's why I tell a lot of people today that are so against the law of, law of attraction. Because they say, well, you know, Christians use it for material things. And I say, well, you know what, that's okay. If that's what you want. Jesus said you can have anything you want. If you can believe it, you can have it. That's a law of attraction. If you want it, if you can believe it, I'll tell you, you can have it. But when you get it, you might find out that's really not what you wanted. So people need to be set free to discover that they really want God. But you see, if you push all of this stuff down and you're just being good out of some kind of fear, and all the time you want to do all of this stuff that you're not doing, you'll never discover that God loves you anyway. So if you set people free, and the word of reconciliation does that many times, it will just, people will go crazy in the flesh. But they come back around. If they really want God, because you cannot sow without reaping. It doesn't mean God's mad at you. It just means you'll sow some seed that you wish you hadn't, and you'll pray for a crop failure. But God is all inclusive, and we can't lose. We can cause ourselves a lot of hurt and a lot of problems, but we can't lose. I remember, I don't know if any of you ever heard of Reverend Ike years ago. He used to say, "You can't lose with the stuff I use." It's really true. You can't lose. You can't lose. You can't lose. You can cause yourself a lot of hurt, but God will get you. In the good sense, not like we used to be taught. We used to be taught, oh, if you do that, God's going to get you. No, God will get you when you realize that you've made many wrong decisions. You've walked down many wrong roads. And it's okay. All the bad things I've done, I exclude none, have made me what I am today. And it's made me realize the unconditional love of God. And it's put that love in my heart for all of creation. Amen. And if I hadn't went through the heartache and the hurt and all of the habits in my life, I would never know, maybe, this love that I have for all of creation. I can't point a finger at any man or woman. I can't judge. I don't judge according to the flesh. There is a righteous judgment. But a lot of people don't understand righteous judgment. But righteous judgment is simply looking at a prostitute. I don't throw out my discernment. I don't say prostitution is okay. But I don't see a prostitute. I see a daughter. I see a child of God. I see the preciousness that's locked up in anybody who's in any kind of sin. And I can love them and minister that love to them, and that will bring them out of whatever they need to come out of. But you put a lot of people like that in a church, won't even let them come in. I always liked Alcoholics Anonymous because they were inclusive. The only thing Alcoholics Anonymous ever required of you, and I've never been a member, but I've studied a lot because I had family members who were alcoholics. The only thing they required of you is, do you really have a heart to quit? Do you really want to quit? And if you really do, I don't care how many times you backslide. I don't care how many. If you want, you're welcome in an alcoholics meeting. And they don't care whether you believe in Jesus. They don't try to convince you of a Christian gospel. They just say, do you believe in a higher power? If you believe in a higher power, and if you don't believe in a higher power, you know there's got to be something greater than you. Just call out to whatever that is. And I guarantee you, he will meet you right where you are. If you're in Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're in Buddhism, if you're in Hinduism, no matter your culture, no matter your background, and this is what got me excluded from most kingdom ministries, because I say God does not care about your doctrine. He doesn't care about your intellectual knowledge. He wants your heart. And so no matter what culture, no matter what religion, no matter where you are, if you'll just cry out to him, you think he's not big enough to introduce you to the head man. Once you cry out to God, he will be your leader. He will draw you out of any religion you're in. I've often shared that the religion of Christianity is no different than Hinduism or Buddhism or any of the rest of them. Because they give you a false image of God also and cause you to fear. We all need the Christian experience. But you know, today, if you tell somebody you're a Christian, they'll say, well, what kind? There shouldn't be no such thing as what kind. This should only be those who love and appreciate their Creator. Those who love God. Those who love one another. It doesn't matter what name is on your door. It really doesn't matter that much what you believe. But do you really have a heart for God? When I pastored a church, that's the only thing I'd say to people. You can come here if you're a prostitute. You can come here. Doesn't matter your sex preference. Nothing matters to me. The only thing that I want to know, do you want God? Because if you do, you come to this place and you sit with us, and I guarantee you that God will take care of your problems. And I'll tell you, we raised up a church that people would walk on our property and sometimes they couldn't hardly stand up. They would come up to us, people that we'd never seen before, and they'd say, I stepped on this property and I felt the presence of God. You see, all of our churches can be that way if you drop the sectarianism and the divisiveness. If you don't set up rules and regulations and doctrine, well, brother, don't you have to believe in the virgin birth? No, you don't. Don't I have to believe that Jesus was the Son of God? No, you don't. But if you want God, you really want God, you come here and you'll learn the truth. I can't teach you the truth anyway. And that's why Jesus went away, because he said, if I go away, I'll send you the Comforter. Yes. And he will teach you all things. There's only one teacher, and that's the Comforter. And if I go away, he'll come to you, and he'll teach you all truth. And you have an anointing, and that anointing abides in you. The anointing that you have received abides in you, and you have need of no man to teach you, for that same anointing will teach you, and it's the truth. You have an inner guidance system that will not lead you astray. Oh, your mind will. Your mind will lead you down many paths. But when you learn to sit in the quiet and you learn to hear that inner guidance system, it's infallible. I have a message I call the infallible guidance system, but that's what all of us have. But we don't listen to that. Many times we do listen to that, but then we'll go to the preacher and he'll say, oh, brother, that you can't listen to that. I had many preachers tell me I was in deception and hearing demons and angels of light. But you have to learn that anointing is in you and you can trust it. You can trust that anointing above what your preacher says, above what Gary says. God is wonderful. And I'm finished.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.